A month ago, I did a three-part message series on the call of God in our lives. And as a result of that call, the joy that should come. And as a result of that call and the joy, the responsibility that we have. Or in a sense, why you exist and what to do because you exist. Today we're going to continue with that, only today is going to be a three-part chopped-up series. I'm going to give you a test first, and then an admonition, and then if we have the time, some training to help you learn how to worship God. But first a test to see, do you have the resurrection power that Jeanette and Scott were talking about? Do you have inside you a growing capacity for worshiping God? Now let me start with this. It's kind of like a battery meter. If I were to plug into you and see how many volts of Holy Spirit or resurrection power you've got in you, would you have 6 volts? Or 9? Or maybe you're a 12-volt kind of person. Right. Or some of you jump all the way up to 120. Or if you just come back from youth conference, maybe 240 volt. Right. You don't know what I'm talking about. Let me give you 8 criterion I want you to think about for a minute. This is just to set the tone here. But tell me, do you have increasing victory over areas of sin in your life? If you were to look at yourself a year ago, and look at yourself now. Would you say that you have increasing victory over areas of sin in your life? After reminding us in Romans 6 about our union with death, our union with Christ in His death and resurrection, he says in Romans 6:13, "And do not go on presenting your bodies as members of sin to unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under the law, you're under grace." And we talked about grace before. Grace is the ability to do what God wants you to do. You're not under the law anymore. Second question, are you witnessing to the lost? Over the past year, have you had the opportunity to witness to the lost? How bright does your light shine? I mean, are you a beacon on a hill or are you a nightlight getting ready to go out? What kind of opportunities have you had? Acts 1:8 says, "For you will receive power, right, and you'll be witnesses to me in Judea, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world." Right? Are you tapping into that power or is your battery draining? Number three, third question, are you empowered for ministry? Hebrews 13:20 says, "Now the God of peace who brought us up from the dead, the great shepherd, even Jesus Christ our Lord, may he equip you in every good thing to do his will." We see it even in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 10, where it says, "And he who descended is himself also he who ascended far above the heavens. And he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors, teachers, for the equipping of the saints to do the work of the ministry." Are you being empowered to do the work of the ministry? That's another way that we worship, not just Sunday morning. Number four, do you find God's grace sufficient for your trials? The things that you're going through right now, do you find God's grace sufficient? 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8 says, Paul writes, "Concerning this thorn in the flesh, I entreated the Lord 3 times. Right? What did the Lord say? "My grace is sufficient for you." Are you finding it more and more in your life? Number five, are you content in your weaknesses? All of us have them. Are you content in your weaknesses? Paul says two verses later, therefore I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Number six, do you abound in hope? Does hope characterize your life? When people talk about you, would they say that there is someone who truly has hope in the Lord? Romans 15, 13 says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, and may you abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Number seven, do you really believe, Ephesians 3:20, that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly beyond what you could ask or think? And number eight, do you really know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering? And are you being conformed to his death? When we come to church on Sunday and we have worship, that is a part of worship, but it should be a reflection of the rest of your life. When you walk in here on Sunday morning, you're bringing your week with you, and that week is to add to your ability to worship God on Sunday morning. It's not just coming here on Sunday morning to be worshiped. Okay? Now, how'd you do on your test? If we skew this, each eight questions means 12.5 per question, and if you didn't do well on four, you flunked. All right? Okay, let me ask this. How many would vote that the young people that have come back from conference probably are grading themselves higher than the rest of us more mature adults who haven't had conferences last week? Okay? Now, we know that they're on what? An emotional high, right? Isn't that what it's called? Okay? But I want to challenge that for you. I want to challenge the concept that it's emotional high, and I want to replace it with what I believe more accurately describes it. It's a renewal high. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, present your bodies, therefore, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to the image of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. All right? Thinking like a Christian. They've had the opportunity for a week to hear of the promises and the power of Christ. For a week, their mind has been renewed with these claims. They should be different than we are. Because how much time did you spend in your Bible last week? How much time did you spend thinking about the promises of God in your life? As compared to the needs that you had to get done, the urgent things that had to be taken care of. The Apostle Paul doesn't spell it out there in Romans 12, but let me do this for you. You are always renewing your mind. You are never, ever not renewing your mind. You're renewing it with good stuff, or you're renewing it with bad stuff, but you are never not renewing your mind. Okay? On a regular, continual basis, 24 hours a day, even when you sleep and dream, you're renewing your mind. Right? But when you look at your life, what is it you see? What's your mind saying to you? Are you like Paul, looking forward to the blessed hope and the joyful coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Or are you just trying to get through the week? You're so far removed from where they are. Where are you? Some of you have received great news this week. Right? In fact, perhaps today, Joy and Ellen will become parents. Right? Pretty exciting time. take you right up. Others of you have other medical problems. Bruce last week was asked to sign a waiver so they could amputate his hand. Right? How would you like to have to sign a waiver so they can amputate your hand? Right? Fortunately, through prayer and the physician's skill, they didn't have to. That's a choice he had to make. He had to literally sign so when he goes to sleep and wakes up, he might be handless. Well, that's a different way to renew your mind. Right? That's where the rubber meets the road. Right? Some of you, as moms, are saying, renewing your mind with 2 more weeks and they're back to school. Right? And others of you are saying, this has been great. I want to come up with an alternative way to have my kids around more often. Right? How are you renewing your mind? How about in traffic? Is that a good place to renew your mind? Actually, it's great. If you know how to use a tape and put a tape in your car, it's a great place. But are you known for using that time for renewing your mind or reviling others? And which more reflects you? This is, to me, fascinating because there is a corollary here that everybody who plays sports understands. Right? You have a goal, and you go after it. Brian and Leah were up visiting one of Leah's friend's family last week, and Brian stayed in the room of one of the sons who wasn't there. And that room, everywhere in the room, was golf posters and golf things because he's getting ready to turn pro. And he's working at the course, and then he goes and practices for hours and hours after he works. And everything about him is consumed with golf. Right? He's got a vision, and he knows where he wants to go. And that reminds me of Tiger Woods, right? The best there is in golf. Last week he won the British Open, 19 under, right? Record setting. They asked him, what do you think? You know what he said? He said, I'm going to get better. I know where my weaknesses are, and I have to practice on them. Is that how you view your life as a Christian? You know where your weaknesses are, and you have to practice them? Or are you like the rest of us and say, well, I'm pretty good. You know, I compare myself to Carol. I'm pretty good. Right? He's not so great. Right? Where are you? It reminds me of a stupid joke, but, the scripture says where there is no vision, people perish. And pastors have to be careful putting that on their message board outside because somebody comes along and takes the W off the beginning of that. It's more accurately represents many of us. Here there is no vision, people perish. But that's one of those two verses. Yeah, well, you're with it. Okay, keep it up. Okay. One of those two verses that are always misused, by the way. That passage, where there is no vision. one and the other. Where there is no vision, people perish means where there is no revelation from God, people perish. That's the correct interpretation of that verse. It's always misquoted. The other one that's always used incorrectly is train up in the child the way he would go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. That does not mean what it means. The Hebrew and some of the translations will explain. It means allow a child to go in the way he's bent. Let him continue to sin, and when he's old, he won't depart from his sinning, right? Is the actual usage of those terms. But stop and think about the vision that the sports players have. Okay? We have people in here who played pro, semi-pro, high school, college. You know what it takes to keep going. My daughter used to swim, and she'd swim 5 miles a day in the morning. We'd have to get up at 5 a.m. to take her to go swimming. I hated it. When she got old enough to get her driver's license, I was free. It was wonderful. But she would swim at 5 a.m, 5 miles a day. Now, that's, a computer does 200 and some odd laps in a pool. And you know that many times her body was saying, hey, stupid, enough's enough. She had a vision, though, so what would she do? Say to her body, no, it's not enough. We're going to keep going. Right? because she's around other people who want to keep going. Think about it. When's the last time Tiger Woods called you up and asked you how to play golf? All right. But if you had the opportunity and you like golf, would you mind spending a day with Tiger Woods? All right. So what's the secret here? Secret is get around people who are better than you. Better than you spiritually. Get around people who are sharper than you are. And stay around them. Get around people who have made a commitment to live for Christ and practice it. Let me ask the group. The time you spent last week around people who are making commitments, does it make a difference in your life? Is it different than when you're around your friends who want to go out and party instead? Okay. What are you going to do to keep yourself where you are? What do you do to keep yourself on this renewal high? Renew your mind on a day by day by day basis. Get around people who are better than you. So let's take a look at some passages. What happens for you if this week has been a rotten week? Right? And you don't have any of that energy coming in. How do you change? Or what happens if a friend calls you up from the church or from somewhere else and says, boy, I am really down. I need some help. How can you help them? How can you renew your mind or help someone else renew their mind? Turn to Psalms, if you will, 41. Pardon me, Psalm 42. Long before psychology was invented, people were depressed. We're going to read about that here. As a deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before him? My tears have been my food day and night. And while they continually say to me, where is your God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me, for I used to go with the multitude, and I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, and with a multitude that kept a pilgrim's feast. Let's think about this. This is David writing. David, as you know, was the guy that, you know, had all the faith and took care of Goliath, right? David is the guy who Saul chased all over Kingdom Come because Saul was jealous of him and how righteous David was. David was the guy who, when he had the opportunity to take Saul's life over and over again, didn't. David was a man after God's own heart. David is depressed. Same guy. Any of you that come back from conference, guess what? You can become depressed. David says in here, I used to lead the multitude to the possession of the house with shouts of joy and thanksgiving. That was me. I remember doing that. But now, I don't even know where God is. I can't find him. I can't taste him. I cry out, and he's not around. Where is he? Okay. Can we agree that he's not a happy camper at this point? So we give him two Prozac and have him call me in the morning. All right. How do the Old Testament saints overcome depression? How do they overcome fatigue? How do they overcome fears? Look at the next verse. Why are you downcast, O my soul, and why so disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of Jordan and from the heights of Hermon and from Hill Mizar. What are those? What did he do? What's going on here all of a sudden? We've got a guy who's clearly frustrated for the first four verses, and all of a sudden in verse 5, starts changing his tune. 1 through 4, He's listening to himself. This is how I feel. I feel like a deer who, after going to the salt lick, is panting for a water brook. I'm thirsty. I need you, God, but I don't know where you are, and I don't feel you. Right? He's describing how he feels. Verse 5, he does something different. Instead of listening to himself, he starts speaking to himself. Instead of listening to himself, he starts speaking to himself. And he says, "Why are you disquieted, O my soul, and why so discomforted within me?" Right? He is now speaking to himself. He's not allowing himself to just listen to how he feels and how depressed he feels, but he's actually speaking to himself. Right? And as he does so, what does he do? He just doesn't say positive mental attitude stuff. He speaks to himself about God and about the character and the promises of God. Because he says here, "O God, my soul is downcast within me. Therefore I will remember you from the land of Jordan, the heights of Hermon, and from Hilmizar," places where God showed his power and his faithfulness to Israel. Well, he's remembering that God exists, and if God exists, God knows what he's going through. Right? Turn with me to Psalm 11. Try Psalm 13 instead, pardon me. Look at the same pattern. First four verses. "How long, O Lord, will you forget me? Forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? And how long will my enemies be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say I have prevailed against him, and lest those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved." Right. Any of you who go to school or go around your friends now and say, "I made a change," okay, what are your friends going to do? Most of them will test you. Most of them will watch and see, is it sincere? And most of them will rather you be what they want you to be than for them to be what God wants them to be. And if you fall, they will rejoice. But it's not any different for us in the office. Not any different for us in our personal walk. It's the same way. When you fall, they rejoice. But look at what happens now all of a sudden. How does he overcome his depression? "But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice for your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me." What did he do again? First four verses, he's describing how he feels. Verse 5, all of a sudden, he starts speaking to himself. And when he speaks to himself, he speaks to himself about the character of God and the promises of God. "I will assure you, I will commit to you, that if you will make a practice of ceasing to listen to yourself and start to speak to yourself, that it will radically change your life and your ability to worship God. I will submit to you that you spend most of your time listening to yourself." And the reason why I say that is because as I'm speaking now at 240, 260 words a minute, you're thinking at 1,200 words a minute. There's a lot of gap in between. So the more audio-visual I can use, the more anything else that I could do, I might make you remember more, I might pull in you more, but you think at 1,200 words a minute. So if you're thinking bad things at 1,200 words a minute, you can work yourself up right quick. And those of you who know me know my presupposition is, outside of a medical reason, Your emotions are the logical result of your thoughts and your actions. Now, if you wake up in the morning feeling lousy, or even thinking, I don't think I feel good today, and you let that be your presupposition, your day will start going downhill. Right? If you wake up and say, this is the day the Lord has made, I will rejoice and be glad in it. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Right? Is there a difference? Right? It's renewing your mind on a daily basis. And you will read much. You will read much about the Holy Spirit and the role of the Holy Spirit. And I'm not trying to downplay the role of the Holy Spirit in any way, shape, or form. But I want you to understand, how do you become filled with the Holy Spirit? And where does the Holy Spirit fit in with this renewing your mind? Well, let's look at two more areas. Okay. Turn with me, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 5. Now, I'm going to skim here real fast over the next chapter. All right? I just want to point out something to you, though. In Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 17, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, what are some of the fruits he's going to talk about? What are some of the ways that you tell as somebody is filled with the Spirit? Okay? We're going to go real fast here. 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the heart. Verse 22, wives submitting to your husband. Verse 28, husbands loving your wives as Christ also loved the church. 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. 6:5, bondservants, be obedient to those who are masters. All right? And finally, putting on the whole armor of God. Okay? Stay with me. Remember those points. What it looks like if you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, let's turn, if you will, to Colossians. Two books over. Chapter 3. Verse 15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were also called in one body, and be thankful. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Now, where do we know the words of Christ from? This book, right? What are the results of someone who has the words of Christ dwelling in them richly? Ready? Teaching and admonishing one another, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, whatever you do in word and deed, verse 18, wives, submit to your husband, verse 19, husband, love your wives, verse 20, children, obey your parents, 21, fathers, do not provoke children, 22, bond servants, be submissive to your masters. What are we saying here? What are we seeing? If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, renew your mind richly with the words of Christ. It's not just some zapping that takes place. You have an active part. You have an active part in changing who you are. You cannot do it without the Holy Spirit. You cannot do any of it until you're born again. But when you are given the grace and the wisdom to understand that as you dwell richly in the Word of God, that you can take that and you can apply it to whatever problems you're facing, whatever emotions you're dealing with, and you can put them on by renewing your mind and remembering that nothing can happen to you. As Dean always says, without first passing through the hands of a loving Heavenly Father, who's also a sovereign God. Right? It can't happen to you if God doesn't allow it. Right? Well, where do we go today? When we sing beautiful songs, or when we hear beautiful songs sung about worshiping God, they lift us, but they don't keep us. They don't sustain us. They help us. They inspire us, perhaps, but they don't sustain us. What sustains you? What will sustain you to keep being committed to Christ? What will sustain you to be committed to Christ? It's the constant renewing of your mind. And when you renew your mind, you renew it with the character of God and with His promises. And where do you find those? In His Word. How do you expand and let the Holy Spirit work in you more? You let the words of Christ dwell in you richly. The whole concept is wrapped up into one big ball. So if I can say, a month ago we started with, God calls you. After He calls you, He gives you joy. Then He asks you to glorify Him. And the way that you glorify Him is remembering who He is and what He has done for you. And to stop having your own self-pity party, start to remember that you are a soldier in the army of Christ who has called you and equipped you to do good works for Him.